We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome to the Community Coffee Saints Coaches Show. Mike Dettelier along with Bobby Hebert. Mike Haas still on his way back from London, so wish Mike safe travels back. It'll be a special edition of the Saints Coaches Show with coaches coming back, getting ready for a Seattle Sunday. We have on with us now Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. Mickey, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Mike, Bobby, it's good to be with you guys. It's good to be back in New Orleans.
Mickey, it's from an unconventional source, but I thought it was a really good question. You've been in this business a long time, and you've been in starts where teams maybe didn't get off to a really good start. It was 0-4, 1-3. In your position as general manager, executive vice president, I think you want to be the calming force. Now, I'll let you tell a story, but how do you handle that with the head coach, also people around him, just sort of all the game plan that you sort of put up in the offseason, and to see that you didn't get off to a fast start? And they wanted to know kind of what you do behind the scenes to kind of help with Dennis Allen. And so he's new to being the head coach, but what you sort of are doing behind the scenes, not to have a knee-jerk reaction by others, not you because you've been through this, but they got people in life, man, it's knee-jerk reaction to everything.
Yeah, well, I think most of the time that comes from outside the building as opposed to inside the building. I mean, these games, you know, if you're in the league long enough, and even if you're not, you understand, you know, the difference between winning and losing is such a small margin. And so I think oftentimes what you're trying to do is eliminate the noise from outside, stay the course, try to, you know, look, you have to do a good job of looking in the mirror and understanding what is keeping you from winning games. And look, Dennis Allen, it's not his first time as a head coach. He's been a head coach, and I think that experience is really valuable for him. And look, I think he's pretty good at understanding, you know, what's keeping us from winning games and what we're doing well and how can we accentuate the things that we do well and eliminate the things that are keeping us from winning. And now, I'm there to support that and help identify that. And everyone in our building is doing that.
Okay. Bob?
Now, Mickey, with all your experience, though, I mean – when you have this kind of adversity and you look at the parity in the NFL, that when we're leading, now it's a small sample size, but it is a sample size. When you're leading the league in giveaways with 11 and penalties with 34 amongst the leaders, Micah told me, I think Denver might have 36 now. And you look at Denver's record, look at the Broncos. Well, that's not winning football if you shoot yourself in the foot, whether it's a turnover or a significant penalty. So how do you really address that? And the reason why I say this, because, you know, if it's one individual or something, then you just put somebody else. We're in a production business. But you had five different players who have fumbled or, you know, then like 20 different guys commit a penalty. So I don't know. How do you address that as a team? Because to me, that's easier said than done.
Yeah, I think a couple things is that, first of all, you have to identify the issues, right? And look, our guys, no one feels worse about a turnover than the guy that commits it. You know, we've got conscientious guys that want to do well for their teammates and the organization. And so if you commit a turnover, you're well aware of it. No one feels worse about it than the person that does it. But look, you still have to understand, what are the circumstances of the turnover and how, when you're in that position, how can you prevent it? And then, look, the penalties is it's the same thing. You have to identify, hey, what are the penalties that are getting called? How are they getting called? And what can I do as an individual to eliminate that and not put myself in that position? And, look, I think part of that is in practice, and we have to, be really conscientious of not doing those kinds of things, not doing the grabbing and pulling in practice that is getting called in the games. And look, I don't necessarily agree with all the calls either, to be honest with you. And so those are the ones that are perplexing is you're coaching guys to do certain things a certain way, and it's not getting called the way you interpret that particular rule or that particular technique. And that's what gets a little frustrating. And I think we've had a number of those.
And, Mickey, what's a little bit perplexing, because I thought coming into this year, the different teams, you're not great in offense, great on defense, great on special teams. But the past few seasons, we have been outstanding on special teams and on defense. But this year, it's been kind of under the radar, and I'm talking about our coverage units and our punt coverage or punt return. I was just looking at what occurred. Now, I'm not even talking about the fumble by Hardy. Deontay Hardy and what occurred. But here's Rieger averaging, I can remember, looking at a number of games in the past, recent past, we would be the one averaging 11.5 yards of punt return and only giving up 2 yards of punt return. It seems like that has not worked out for us. Now, talk about that fumble, the fake punt. I'm not even talking about Lutz with the field goals, whether he made it or not. But it seems like we were always amongst the best on special teams, and that's not the case right now. We're on the bottom half of the league.
Yeah, look, look, we know we're capable because we've got, essentially the same personnel that we had a year ago and the year before that. We've had a lot of the same guys, core group of guys, the special teams players. So we know we're capable, but it's a matter of execution. And so we have to get better at that. We have to, coach better and play better look at the way we're doing things, and we will. Look, we've got really good coaches, and we've got conscientious, quality players on special teams, and I believe that'll get fixed.
This is Mike Dettelia, and we'll be back with more of the Saints Coaches Show with special guests, Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis and the Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert right here on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. Mike Dettelia along with the Saints legend Bobby Hebert. And we're talking Saints football with Saints Executive Vice President, General Manager Mickey Loomis. Mickey, I think you were probably like everybody else. My view of the second Lutz field goal, when he hit it, it looked straight as an arrow. And then we've seen it with these longer kicks. It starts to drift a little bit. I actually thought he hit it. You know, and then it hits the goalpost. It goes down. It, from a TV standpoint, you couldn't see that it had hit the bottom bar, too. Your thoughts on initially watching that kick? Because when you saw it, you said, man, he's going to make a second one from 60 yards.
Yep, I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now,
man.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you know, the first kick was really impressive. Did that 60-yarder in that circumstance. Was very impressive. And, look, it cleared by a pretty decent margin. When he got the opportunity to get the second one, look, I know that you know, Will's confident, you know, and we're confident in him. And I wasn't surprised that he hit a good kick. I think I've been part of about 700 plus NFL games, and I think that's the first time I've had the double doink not go in, which is, you know, awfully disappointing. But yeah, he hit a good ball, and it looked really good all the way to the end.
Now, you know, Mickey, looking at the situation we're in, we're in a production business. And I thought Andy Dalton was outstanding. 20 of 28, 108 quarterback rating. Now, obviously, you don't want that fumble. And I thought he managed the game well, and he put us in the position to come out on top. But what is your take? And is it depending on the situation? It varies from team to team. And I think money comes into play because – if Russell Wilson's struggling with Denver, they're not going in a different direction because they've invested all that money in him. But can a quarterback lose his job because of an injury? Now, what I mean by that is, like, for instance, you know, all of a sudden Tony Romo's back's hurt and Dak Prescott goes in there and Tony Romo's doing TV. So you can look at a number of different examples. You just look at right now with Cooper Rush. And then you got Dak Prescott, where they got a lot of money invested. But isn't it all about winning, no matter who's the guy in there? So what approach do you and Dennis take as far as who would be the starting quarterback week in and week out? Does that make a difference that Jameis Winston started the season as a starter and Dalton's the backup? Does automatically, if he's 100% healthy, you go back to him? But what if a scenario... I'm just hypothetical. What if, all of a sudden Andy Dalton's winning a number of games? Do you just pull him then and put in Jameis Winston because you perceived him as a starter before the season began?
Well, look, Bobby, that's a good question. But here's and I'd love to answer that is before the season starts in a hypothetical situation, just about any circumstance. But anything I say now is going to get interpreted one way or the other. So I'm really not going to address that. I think, look, we always are going to evaluate and say what gives us the best chance to win this week. But there's so many variables that come into play here. And I honestly, I don't want to really get into that kind of speculation.
Okay, but how about this, Mickey? Wouldn't you say that Andy Dalton did his job? I mean, I thought he played winning football for us to win in London.
Yeah, I think Andy did a really good job. I think a number of guys did a really good job. I think Latavius Murray, you know, came off the practice squad and did a good job for us. And I think Kelvin Throckmorton, and there's some other guys too that played that had to play because of injury that did a really good job for us. And so, you know, that's just the NFL. You know that. That's the NFL. You have to have guys step up and play when someone's not available. And fortunately, we've had some of that. But, look, we've got to, you know, find a way to turn these games into wins.
Yeah. And, you know, Mickey, you bring up Latavius Murray. I thought he was outstanding. You look at it, I mean, he flat out was, if you look at just running the football, 5.2-yard average. I mean, you could say fresh legs or whatever. And listen, I'm a fan of Mark Ingram. I'm a fan of Latavius Murray and obviously Alvin Kamara. Does that even come into play when you talk about like a rotation? Okay, we all know that Alvin Kamara is the number one running back. When you're trying to spell a running back or a rotation, and I'm not hating on Ingram. I'm not hating on him. But I just thought that if Mark Ingram was at one level, Latavius Murray was even a step up. They're only a month difference in age. I thought Latavius Murray, like you said, was outstanding.
Yeah, look, I listen. I'm glad we have all these guys, and you know, Mark's done a good job for us. Alvin obviously is a great running back, and Mark's been really productive for us. I'm glad he's back on our team, and look, Latavius did a good job stepping up, you know, in as an injury fill in. And look, we need all these running backs. You know, that's one thing about our league is that you got to stack up the running backs, and they're all going to have a role during the course of a season.
Mickey, one
but
of the things.
I also thought this. I thought that, you know, our offensive line did a really good job of run blocking and pass protection in this game, and that was encouraging.
Mickey, one of the things more and more, and we just got off the phone with him. He said he was going to crank call you, Randy Mueller. But but one of the things, Randy and I have talked quite a bit in the offseason. He says, Mike, this is becoming more and more of a backup league because starters are going to go down, and you don't want that Mount Everest drop-off out of position. Do you find that that's been a major change? And you always wanted to have good depth, but now because of 17 games, longer seasons, Thursday night games, Sunday night games, Monday night games, that the depth on a team, that it is becoming more and more of a backup league.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think part and parcel with that is, boy, if you look at the end of the year, the teams that are in the playoffs and the teams that are winning, more often than not, it's the teams that have been able to stay healthy during the course of the season. And look, a big part of that is just luck, to be honest with you. But that's been more and more the case recently is that you have to be able to stay healthy and look, you have to have guys that can step up and play. And part of that is, you know, making sure that you're developing your young players and the guys that are on the practice squad that start the year in the practice squad, because that's the pool of players that you're going to when you get injuries. And, you know, I was looking at this just the other day. There's been, you know, the number of call-ups and guys that have been signed to replace injured players has been almost exclusively practice squad players. And so that development is really important.
Sit tight. We'll be back with more of the Saints Coaches Show with special guest, Saints Executive Vice President, General Manager Mickey Loomis, Cajun Cannon, myself, right here on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. We're back here on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. We're talking Saints football with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis, Mike Dettelia, along with Saints legend Bobby Hebert. Mickey, one of the things, and man, you've had some bad luck with injuries with the rookies, but man, Chris Olave, he don't play like no rookie. And we've seen it one big play after another, certainly on that final drive, comes up with a big catch. But, man, what was impressive is he almost came up with another catch right near the sidelines. He couldn't get that foot in. Man, you've been around a long time. Man, Chris Olave as a route runner and a setup guy, man, he's smooth as silk. He has really been as advertised when he came out of Ohio State.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Mike. You know, one of the things that look, we really liked about him is that he had a maturity about him, along with being, you know, obviously a smooth route runner and fast and all those things, good hands, all those things that you're looking for in terms of traits. But, you know, one thing, you know, we've had a lot of Ohio State guys in our building over the years, and part of that is that, man, those guys, they've played in big games. They're used to, high-pressure situations, being in the spotlight. It's not too big for them, and that's certainly been the case with Chris. It's not too big for him. He's had a professional attitude from day one and has been impressive so far. And look, he's off to a good start, but that's what it is. It's a good start.
Now, you know, Mickey, the one area I thought, and we've done that in the past, is that we've been outstanding on third down defense, but not so much third down offense. Now, we end up being, which is to me, now, it's only, you know, we were 4 of 10, 40%. If you're 5 of 10, you're 50%. But if you can somehow end up you know, high 40s, 50%, and we were used to that with Drew Brees and Coach Payton. But the one thing I thought our defense, again, they were 5 of 14. Now, they got off to a fast start. They didn't really convert any third downs as the game progressed. So that's one area, and I'm sure Dennis Allen is emphasizing this. We got to keep that up. We've been outstanding on third down defense and also outstanding in red zone defense, which we were number one last season. And you would take this every game. Now, you don't want to maybe to be in the red zone as much as, you know, five or six times. But they were only 2 of 5, 40% on the red zone production as far as scoring touchdowns. I thought that was a big key while we were still in the game, even with those short field turnovers.
Yeah, look, Bobby, you're touching on some things that are the positives that you take away from this game. And there were some positive things on offense. I thought we ran the ball well, particularly in the second half. I thought that we did do some good things on third down offensively. Our pass protection was good. We had some receivers make big plays. And so on defense, you know, our red zone defense, you cited it already. That was good. Our third down defense, there was a lot of good things, and yet they get negated when you have a turnover at your end of the field. You have a turnover when you're going to have positive. You're going to be in real good field position on the punt return. And then the penalties were just, look, I think they got 5 first downs by penalty, and a bunch of those were on third down when we had, you know, I think 3 times on their touchdown drive near the end of the game, I think there was 3 third down penalties that gave them first downs. And whether we agree with the calls or not, they continue the drive. And so, look, I would have liked our chances to get a stop there and then get into our 4-minute offense. I would have really liked our chances to win the game. But those are the things that are preventing us from winning the game. And look, it's not the first time. It was turnovers and penalties against Tampa and the same thing against Carolina. So we've got to find a way to correct that. Or we're not going to make any of our goals.
Now, Mickey, looking at with the Seahawks coming to town, they've actually been better than I thought. Now, obviously, you're dealing with NFL players, and I go way back with Pete Carroll. He was coaching defensive backs in Minnesota when I was playing. But I'm looking at Geno Smith. I mean, I don't know. That's pretty impressive. 20 of 30, 320 yards. You might say, well, he's going against the line defense, but it's still an NFL defense. And then you look at their running back, Penny. He had 17 carries, 181 yards. So it seems like you better pack a lunch. It's going to be a tough game with Seattle coming to New Orleans come this Sunday at noon.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. And Pete Carroll's, you know, look, they got a really good coaching staff. Their teams are well coached, and they're not going to beat themselves. You know, you're going to have to beat them. And so we're going to have to play. We're going to play a really good game, and these are the kind of games where the most desperate team wins, and we have to be the most desperate team. We should be, sitting at 1-3. We should be the most desperate team, and we better be, or we're not going to walk away with a victory.
Mickey, thanks so much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it, and good luck this coming Sunday against Seattle.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Mike and Bobby. And look, it's not uncommon for me to follow Randy Mueller, right?
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, Mickey. Nice. Appreciate it, buddy.
Yep. Take care, guys.
All right, thank you, Mickey. We'll take a quick break here for our station identification on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. We'll be back with more here on the Saints Coaches Show, and we'll have Saints linebackers coach Michael Hodges right here on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. We're back here on the Saints Coaches Show on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. Mike Dettelier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And online now with the Saints linebackers coach, Michael Hodges. Mike, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Mike, one of the things over the offseason, we do this camp in Thibodeau, Louisiana Line Camp. Pete Jenkins runs it. Pete's been coaching now, I think he told me, 54 years. He's 82 years old. And he says, you know, the one position that has changed more than anything in that time frame has been the linebacker spot. He said, man, you know, back 70s, 80s, you were looking for this big thumper in the middle or that big-time edge rusher that looked like a defensive end that could play outside linebacker. And he said some of that is true off the edge. But it's really changed because if you can't cover, you coming out the game, you run out of downs. So your thoughts on that and also the progress of Pete Werner. Because taking a look at him on the hoof, he looks like a big, strong safety. Maybe it's the number he wears. I don't know. But, man, his instincts and his smarts to play this game really jumps out at you. So the thought about the change in what you were maybe looking for years ago at linebacker, what you got to get today because it's more of a pitch-and-catch game, and also to the progress of Pete Werner.
Yeah, sure. Look, I've been down to that camp in Thibodeau. I went down there with Nielsen a few years ago. The one thing that hasn't changed is teaching, you know, and that's one thing that Pete Jenkins has done a great job of. But really, to your question, that's really a big part of our evaluation. If we can't answer a prospect's ability to cover, and if we're not evaluating that part of his game well, we're going to put ourselves in a bind. And so you nailed it on the head. That's a critical part of the linebacker play now, and it just is something added on to what hasn't changed, which is the instincts and the leadership and the intelligence and those types of things that we always are sure to hold those guys accountable for as well. As far as Pete, look, he's a smart player who came in here with a mature mindset and has continued each week both as a young player and learning and asking questions, but also perfecting his process. And that's helped him prepare and perform the way he has the last few weeks as a pretty good linebacker in the NFL right now.
Well, you know, Coach Hodges, along those lines, because we've seen it in a preseason game, that's why I think he's back on board, even though he's with the practice squad. What I have noticed about Pete Werner and Chase Hansen is that play recognition, that they're able to react, and then that's how you get tackles for a loss or a no gains and all that, that you're not sitting and waiting to react. Now, you got to be able to make tackles, obviously, but if you can, if you can recognize a certain play or a scheme and attack it, I think we've seen that with Chase Hansen. It was back on the radar after all the injuries. And then Pete Werner, obviously, from the get-go, when from the Atlanta game when he was ready to play.
Yeah, if you asked us to identify one particular trait that it's going to either hold back or allow a player to excel in the linebacker room, and it's going to be instincts. And that's really what it is. Now, there's things that you can do to get a tick ahead on that and continue to improve that. A lot of that is innate and developed in your younger years as you develop into a college football player. But it's a really, really important, critical point that we focus on in our evaluation of these players. And look, we've got a linebacker room of that with a bunch of guys with good instincts, and so it's fun to coach.
Now, Coach Hodges, one thing, looking at the defense where we're at, I wish our scoring defense was better. Obviously, in this day and age, you can hold a team into the teens. Shame on you if you don't win. But we were outstanding red zone defense against the Vikings. They were only 2 of 5, 40%, and we were able to have the number one red zone defense last year. And it didn't start out this way for the game as far as third down defense. But we've been outstanding. It's been like low 30%. So when you're trying to get off the field, now I wish we had more takeaways, but I think our red zone defense and third down defense has been outstanding.
Yeah, look, it all starts with DA, and then you've got Ryan Nielsen and Chris Richard who do a great job preparing us for the week. Obviously, last year was a big jump from the year before that in the red zone, and that's been a big part of the success of this defense. We got off to a slow start a little bit on third down. You mentioned that. stubbed our toe a few times there, but look, really got to give Minnesota some credit. They did a good job of attacking some of our man coverage early on in that game. So DA had to sprinkle in a few different calls in there to allow us to pass some of those things off, which really paid dividends as the game went on and got us back on track to be a, you know, pretty dominant third down defense again.
Now, Coach Hodges, how would you describe like DeMario Davis? And look at all your coaching experience and players you've been around. To me, that's like a fantasy to coach a guy like that, simply because he's not only leading by example, but also a vocal leader, and then he can back it up, you know, getting the players fired up. We've seen Drew Brees do that. We've seen Double D DeMario Davis do that. It just seems like he's been a truly special player for the Saints on defense and being that leader that you need.
Look, you've nailed it. DeMario's special in a lot of ways. I think he's developed. He's in, I think, year 11 now, and he's growing into that role, able to be here under Drew for a few years before Drew left, and learn from that player as a leader. But really what makes DeMario special is all the things you see. Those are all true, and I don't want to discredit any of that. But really his continued trust in the process, his continued effort to becoming a better football player each week, it doesn't change. I mean, it's not uncommon for him to say, hey, where's the 1% this week, or where's the 1% today, Hodges? And we focus on that. And so that's allowed this player to continue to be better and better and better year in and year out over the last few years that he's been here. It's really been, you said it, but it's been a privilege to coach.
Coach, the other thing, too, is ability to rush the quarterback. If that's what you had really asked him to do, he'd be elite in that, too.
Yeah, I think that this guy, he coined the term hybrid, whatever the hell that is, a couple years ago, and he likes to fancy himself as a guy that can do everything. I don't think he can play quarterback, but he thinks he can, and he's just a guy that can do a lot of things, and we just got to put him in the right position to do them. And so that's what we do, you know, Tuesday through Friday, of trying to make sure we get our guys in the best position to make plays for us and to use their best traits to our advantage.
Now, Coach Hodges, how does this come into play? Because a lot of competition at linebacker and only so many guys could start. But how does that process come about with you and Coach Rizzi as far as special teams? You look at a contribution. Obviously, Andrew Dowell got everyone's attention last year on special teams. Now he needs to step it up this year on that. And then you look like a Zach Bond, Caden Ellis. And then I talked about Chase Hansen on the practice squad, Nephi Sewell, and then Eric Wilson. So how does that conversation, when you talk about the final roster and everything comes about, how important that not just being purely a linebacker, but your contribution, that if you had to go in the game at linebacker, maybe in a pinch, if you are a backup, but you are a starter when it comes to special teams. How does that work with you and Coach Rizzi as far as who's on activated or who's not? Does that come into play with you? Or is that a Coach Rizzi call, or that's a combination?
Well, I think it's a combination. But really, at the end of the day, we identify who's going to be playing the most. And if you're not a starter, you better have a role with our special teams. And that doesn't just start once the game week comes around. That starts back when we are in the off season and evaluating players in college, evaluating players in free agency. You know, what is our vision for that player? If he's a first and second down starter, okay, what is he going to be? What is he going to be for us on special teams? If he's not that, he has to have a role in Rizzi's room. And ultimately, when we look at it each week, you talk about this, it almost seems cliche when teams talk about being balanced, both offensive, defensively, and special teams. But really, man, that's a focus of every one of our staff meetings each day is, okay, how's this roster going to play out for this weekend to make sure we have the best chance to win? So it's a consistent, continuous conversation of trying to get the right balance there.
Hodges, looking at Zach Vaughn, you know, some fans are disappointed, but I'm looking at he's amongst the leader in tackles on special teams. So even though he hasn't saw the field as a defensive player, he's contributed at a high level right there with JT Gray on special teams.
Yes, Zach's done a great job. Zach's a critical factor on our special teams, and he prepares in our meeting room, in the linebacker meeting room, as if he's the starting will linebacker. So when the opportunity comes, if it does, he's going to be ready. Right now, his role is to be a key contributor and star on special teams, and that's why he's owning it the way he is.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. We really appreciate it, and good luck this coming Sunday against Seattle.
All right, guys. Appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Coach Hodges, just tell him take away the football. We need to create more turnovers.
We need to be in the plus route.
Yeah.
I promise you that is a focus on our end, fellas.
All right.
Thank you, Coach. We appreciate it. Mike Hodges, the linebackers coach for the New Orleans Saints. We'll take a break and finish it up here on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. We're finishing up here on the Saints Coaches Show on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. Mike Dettelier along with Saints legend Bobby Hebert. Bobby J., one of the things with Seattle, I'll never forget Coach O telling me this. Man, he said, listen, with Pedro, that's a nickname for Pete Carroll.
Right.
Said, and to the day he leaves this game, he's always going to be a run-oriented coach. You think back to those USC days when he had Reggie Bush, Lindell White. And then, man, he had beast mode, Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And he wants Rashad Penny to be that guy.
Rashad Penny, Mike, and
he wants Penny to be that guy.
Now, Rashad Penny was that guy. Now, you might say it's against the Lions. The Lions scored enough, but they couldn't stop Seattle. Mike, Penny had an unbelievable game. 17 carries, 151 yards. I mean, that could be Geno Smith's best friend. I can see why maybe because you're trying to honor the run, the underneath coverage. Geno Smith was 23 of 30 for 320 yards.
Looked good yesterday. He really did.
Yeah,
I'll be honest. I know who he was playing against.
Too. Yeah, but you look at the two receivers he was throwing to, Metcalf, 7 catches, 149. Then you had Tyler Lockett. Mike, he had 6 catches for 91. So, no, it's going to be a challenge. Now, the one thing
– they don't stop the run well.
Yeah, yes, that we should be able to run against Seattle. I mean, it's not the traditional what they were called, the Doom – not Doomsday, the Legion of
Legion
Doom.
Of Boom.
Boom, yeah, Boom, Doom. They're not there today. That's not how they structured.
And no Wagner in the middle.
Yeah, no Bobby Wagner.
Man, Bobby was a force in there. I know he had gotten up in age, but, man.
So he's with the Rams now?
With the Rams now.
We see him tonight against the 49ers. Now, that's going to be interesting. Monday Night Football, Mike, I think I can recollect. The Rams choked. Think about last year. We'd have been in the postseason, and the Rams don't take care of business against the 49ers. I think the 49ers have won 6 straight against the Rams, even though they were Super Bowl champs. And, you know, when they were at Candlestick was a tough place to play. And it's in San Fran, right?
Right.
So you look at Levi's Stadium now. They were 20-8 on the road since 2019, which is impressive, way better than 500. That's even including the playoffs, that being the 49ers. They won their final 3 home games last season after they had lost 8 straight at Levi's Stadium, and they won their last 3. So, Mike, that'll be interesting, that trend, if that continues for the 49ers to take care of that home field advantage against the NFC West. Because, Mike, the 49ers, that's another team, like the Saints, what they've been doing, turning over the football.
Yep.
Well, if they do that against San Fran, no, Mike, they're not going to win.
One of the things I've noticed with the Rams' defense earlier is their over-pursuit of plays. Okay, so if that's the case, I'll put that ball in Deebo Samuel's hands as a runner 5 to 7 times tonight. Because I do know one thing. If it's on a reverse jet sweep, even an RPO play with Garoppolo, man, I want Deebo to touch the football a lot tonight. Now, I'm talking about 14 to 15 times as a runner and a receiver, because what you see with the Rams, a lot of over pursuit, and man, if you give Debo a little crack, man, he's way up the field.
You know, Mike, and looking at the Monday night matchup, how about, you know, I've been pleasantly surprised, and they're playing hard, the Falcons. Atlanta.
But they lost Cordell Patterson today.
What?
Yeah, he's out for at least 4 weeks.
But Mike, the first four games, haven't they played hard? What?
They played sometimes not smart, but yeah. They have played hard.
No, you better pack a lunch. Look how we were lucky to win that game. But to me, who's a fraud is Carolina. Carolina, again.
He's dead man walking. I told you that
okay,
last week.
Again, they have the lead. Their defense gets a touchdown. You should win that game. What is Baker Mayfield doing? No, Mike, Baker Mayfield, you know when you watch a player and you look, Baker Mayfield, to me, it is what it is. And you know how you first see a player in the NFL? I'm not talking about because we saw him at LSU. How impressive was Justin Jefferson? He was not intimidated one bit. Marshawn Lattimore is respected as amongst the best in the NFL. That just goes to show you the best receiver going against
one of the best cornerbacks.
If they don't have help, the receiver's going to win. Now, the only way, if you have like 1,001, like a second and a half to throw. But I can tell you, I've been tooting Lattimore's horn against all the receivers he's covered, even our receivers, who I think who are outstanding.
Really good, but
Michael Thomas, but they know Justin Jefferson.
Here's the thing in this game.
That's why I'm still interested to see what's going to happen when we play the Bengals and Ja'Marr Chase and Lattimore and all that. You know, I want to see, because I know what Justin Jefferson did.
You got two rookie tackles, too. The Saints got to take care of business there to get pressure on Geno Smith, because if you give him time, he's going to eat you up.
Right, and he's playing with confidence right now. Mike, he got so much adversity with the Jets. Now this
it
is
can't get any worse.
Yeah, this is lanyard for him being with the Seahawks now.
Glad you joined us here on the Saints Coaches Show featuring Saints Executive Vice President, General Manager Mickey Loomis, also Saints Linebackers Coach Michael Hodges. Join us next week. Same time, same great radio station on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. Thank you for listening.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.